This is still on May 29th, and we are still in the Junction City area. And we are in the home of Arnold and Edith Bodker, and their granddaughter, Ingrid, is here. And I think it would be very important to get a viewpoint from her generation on these tapes. And so, Ingrid, would you tell us what your full name is?
Ingrid Marie Bodker.
And where do you live now?
In Salem.
In Salem. Would you mind telling us how old you are?
I'm 15.
You're 15. Now, you have ancestors both from Denmark and from the Faroe Islands.
Yeah.
And does it mean anything special to you that you have, that you know about these people, that you have roots in those countries?
Yeah, it makes you feel like you have a home somewhere else. You can be at home someplace else in the world and not worry about being lost there or something.
Now, what had been told, do you remember any of the things that were told to you about those places before you visited? Did you have sort of a preconceived notion of what they were like?
I did a little bit about Denmark. I'd always thought, because of what I'd heard about the costumes, that people dressed in costumes and things like that. No, they weren't a modern country or something like that, but I learned otherwise.
Now, how old were you when you went to Denmark?
I was 9 when I went.
And you stayed there for?
1 year. We were in Denmark about 8 months.
Now, at the time that you found out you were going to be visiting in Denmark, what was the reaction of your friends in this country?
They thought it was a little strange. That's all I remember really about it.
Because it was a few years,
yeah.
And it was because your father was going to be studying in Denmark that you went?
No. He had been there before he and my mother were married, and we just wanted to go, so we left. My mom raised the money for it in 1 year, and we left.
Well, he didn't go to school then in Denmark.
No.
Oh, I was under the impression that
he taught, but he didn't even know he had a job. We just went. And there was a job opening when he got there at the same place that he'd gone to school the time before.
And that was?
That was at Askø Højskole.
On Jylland.
Yeah, on Jylland.
Now, where did you live when you were at Askø?
We lived on the campus in Askø.
And partook then of the meals and so on.
Yeah.
Was that a new experience for you, that almost a communal living at Askø?
Yeah, it was.
Can you give us your impressions?
I liked it. It was different, but it's sort of like being here on a holiday. Everyone eats together, and you know everyone, and you don't worry about anything. Everybody knows everyone else, and you don't have to worry about getting lost or what people are going to think of what you're doing. Any of those things that aren't really important anyway.
Did you, you didn't know any Danish when you went over there.
Yeah.
Would you tell us some of the things, or some of the ways that you learned the language?
Well, Dad had a record of the Danish language that was supposed to, he wanted to get, you know, the idea of what it sounded like across. So I knew how to say, would you please speak more slowly? And I would like to have some apples or something like that.
How about giving us those in Danish now? Somebody in the future may be interested in the way you accent the Danish.
Oh, would you please speak more slowly? Vil du tale lidt langsommere?
Yeah.
And jeg vil gerne have æbler, no?
Yeah.
But then we did that, but then I went there and just mainly listened for like 3 weeks or so before I said anything. And then out playing with one of my friends, I changed the apples to fish, and I changed the D to the do in the slowly question, and I learned more, but I didn't say anything for a while at school. And I always made dumb mistakes.
Oh, you then went right into a Danish school system, or was it a regular Danish school?
Regular Danish school.
What were your impressions of the Danish school?
I liked it a lot. It was it was a small school, and I'd come from a big city school, and it was the first time I'd gone to a small school. But I enjoyed it. There was a lot of emphasis on different things than they put emphasis on in schools here.
And what were those?
Like, the room we were in was the zoology room, I guess, in a grade school, and it had stuffed animals all along one wall. We never had those in grade school where I went to school before, and there were religion classes, and depending on the teacher you had, depended on what sort of religion class you had. The first they put me in a grade younger than I was in, and we had a very devout Lutheran in that class. And then I was transferred to another class, and my teacher wasn't so devout. We pretty much sat around and played games during our religion class there.
How did you feel that your past school experience, I'm not phrasing this very well, did you find it difficult with your past school experience to keep up with the Danish children, or was it the other way around? Were you ahead of the Danish children?
Well, as I remember, I was ahead in math. I knew everything they were doing in math, but it was primarily just multiplication, division, stuff like that. And then I guess I knew pretty much what we were doing in science because my mom's a botanist. And the language just kept me on my toes most of the time. I always did better than everyone else did in spelling because I had to study. That was kind of nice.
Now, you said that this was a country school and there were not as many children there. What about discipline in a school like that?
I don't really remember much about it. Pretty much the same, I suppose. Teachers yelled when the kids acted off. Pretty much the same. I don't remember anything in particular about it.
Now, when you were in Denmark, did you find relatives on the Danish mainland or in Denmark?
Yes, there were relatives all over. There were, because my bestefar, Arnold, came from Sønderjylland and around the Schleswig-Holstein area. So we had relatives there and in Northern Jutland, and most of the places we went, there was someone we were related to.
Now, when you met these people that you had only heard about before, but now here they were in flesh and as a real person, did you feel the kinship?
Yeah, you wouldn't have felt it if you just met a person without knowing they were related, but when you knew that, it made a difference, and they welcomed you differently than someone would otherwise. They made it seem like it was very much your house as well as their house. It made you feel really good.
Did you have a chance to travel in Denmark besides Askov and the area where your family was? Did you go out and visit in other areas where you had no relatives?
Yeah, we camped all over the place, and we traveled a lot through Denmark, a lot faster than the Danes traveled.
Yes.
And we visited many different campgrounds and places and saw all the sights.
Did you then get into conversation with Danish youngsters?
Yeah, we had a couple really strange conversations, like when I was wearing, my brother and I were swinging on a swing set once, and we were wearing lederhosen that we'd gotten in Germany, and some Danish kids came up to us and started yelling "Tysko, Tysko" at us. They thought we were German, and when I let them, my brother didn't really know what was going on. Kindergarten or something. He knew what they meant, but it didn't make any difference to him. And I let him get away with it for about 5 minutes or so. And then I bawled him out in Danish, telling him that I wasn't German, but I wasn't Danish either. I was American, and I could speak their language as well as they could. It was kind of fun.
What was their reaction?
They were really surprised. They were really surprised.
Did you ever feel any antagonism because you were American in Denmark?
No, I didn't. My brother got a little bit of trouble because he was in kindergarten and his friends didn't understand. They thought that if you're from somewhere else, you were from Germany, and so they yelled at him. He and his friends got in great big wars with other friends, but not, except for the kids in the year older than I was in school. They were learning English, and when I walk into school, they would all stand behind a door and yell their new English word out at me. One time it was money. They all, like 12 of them, standing behind this door, opened up the door as I walked by it and yelled, "Money!" out the door. I couldn't figure out what they were talking about for a couple days, but it finally dawned on me.
They were actually practicing their English on
you.
Yeah,
just sort of yelling it at me. It was kind of strange.
Now, you said you did a lot of camping in Denmark, so you saw the countryside. Which is not that different from Oregon's with the greenness, right? Did you get into Copenhagen, to the city?
Yeah, we visited it once every couple of months or so. And it was a lot different from the little town we lived in.
Yes. Was there any experiences in Copenhagen or any descriptions you could give us of an American girl in a European capital?
Well, it was, well, I remember Tivoli really well, and I really enjoyed that, because the only thing I'd seen like it was the Iowa State Fair, and it's supposed to be the best fair in the United States, but it's nothing like Tivoli. It isn't sawdust floored, and there aren't the barkers there. There aren't so many of them, I should say. They're there, but they're in permanent booths, mm-hmm. and there's green grass everywhere and fountains, and it's all a lot. It isn't, the European capitals aren't as cement and blacktop, or they're made to not seem so much as some American capitals are, the capitals of states or something.
Now, while you were in Europe, you also had an opportunity to go to the Faroe Islands. Would you tell us something about that?
Well, it was totally different from Denmark. They were feeling very nationalistic. They still are, I think. But there weren't any trees. They had one forest that had 50 deciduous trees in it and 50 conifers, and that was down in a little dell in the capital city. And the rest of it was all rock. They said they had rocks instead of trees. And they all fished, and they knew all about the ocean. They had to. They were surrounded by it. And they weren't volcanic islands. They'd just been pushed up out of the sea, so they were very straight-sided. People, it just sort of appalled me because they didn't know how to swim, and I'd known how to swim since I was really little. And so every year a couple people or a dog would just walk, the edges weren't, the fields went right to the edges of the islands, and so somebody would fall off the edge and drown, or one couple we met lost about a 20-year-old son because he just went fishing one time and never came back. And that sort of surprised me. I'd never lived near an ocean before then either, not that I remembered. And so I wasn't used to things like that happening, you know, that Coast Guard going out or something like that. It was different.
Now, you were only 10 years old about that time. And you said they had a nationalistic feeling. Can you explain a little bit about what this is? Or did you, as young as you were, did you realize what that was all about, this nationalistic feeling?
Well, it wasn't so much directed at me because I was a little girl, so I was sort of forgiven. But it was more towards the Danes because they didn't want to have to speak Danish. They'd been made to speak Danish in the schools, and Danish was the official language, and they were turning more towards Faroese. And so they looked upon people that only spoke Danish. They looked sort of down on them like they were, like we were Danes then, therefore trying to push them into something. But there wasn't much of that feeling. It was just the feeling they held for the Danes, and they just told us about it. It wasn't any animosity towards us.
But the feeling was there that they wanted independence of some kind. At least some families did. Is that correct?
Yeah, they didn't want to be hung up on Denmark for everything.
And even as a 10-year-old, you noticed or were observant of this fact.
Yeah, it was kind of apparent sometimes, not all the time.
Now, you had family on the Faroe Islands.
Yeah.
And can you tell us a little bit about maybe some of the doings or what you did during the time you were with this family?
Well, we had to go around. We didn't have to, but we did go around and greet everyone. Hilsa, everybody that we knew, you know, along the road from the house to the capital city and back. And you'd always stop off and say hello and have a drink and won't you come inside? And my, what sweet little children and all this sort of thing. And we met over 100 people in that time. Some of them were really neat, really different types of people. It was really kind of neat to see that people were hardier than some of the other people you meet, just because, well, we met a lot of older people, and older people are usually hardier.
Do you know what some of their occupations were?
Well, some of them, the people we were staying with, the father was a teacher at the university there. Small high school, but they called it their university. And some of them were mainly farmers and fishermen. Farmers or fishermen or teachers were the only other ones I met.
Now, I know Danish and I know English, but I don't know enough about the Faroe Island. Is it very much like the Danish, not the island, the language?
No, it's the old Norse language, and it's pretty much stayed the same. If you look at it, to read it, if you compare the Icelandic to Danish to Faroese, it looks like Icelandic. But if you look at the words and you try to sound out some of them, You can make sense out of the words. If you know what it says in Danish, then you can see how that came from what it says in Faroese.
You had a chance to observe this this little different language.
Yeah, it was, you know, all over everything like that. But since then, I've looked at a book of sagas that was in Icelandic and Faroese and Danish, all three, every page. And you could sit and compare them. And it was really kind of neat.
So you are kind of continuing your interest in these languages and in these countries.
Yeah, I'm really interested in language, so I always check things like that out.
Now, when you came back to the United States, what were your reactions? Now, you had been away for a long time. What was it like to come back home?
Everybody spoke English. That was the biggest surprise of all. I mean, you didn't have any trouble. Even when we'd been in England and Scotland, it was hard for me to make... I could understand people, but like in Scotland, some of the people couldn't understand them at all. And coming back, and everyone spoke English. And everybody was really naive in the United States because they think that knowing English is enough, like the whole world ought to know English, and nobody needs to know anything else. And if they ever got themselves into a situation where someone spoke another language, I don't think many people could handle it. They'd feel sort of like Robinson Crusoe, that he had to teach Friday English, not that he'd learn Friday's language. And that seems sort of backwards to me somehow. If you're somewhere else, you ought to be like what those people are doing.
Then when you started back to school, did you feel you had lost a year or had gained a year, or were you... How did you feel about coming back to school?
Well, for a while they were going to say that I just lost a year, but then I guess they decided to put me back into sixth grade where I was going to be. And in some things, I knew nothing about American history because that was the school I went to in Oregon. They had studied American history the year I missed. And when I'd been in Denmark, I'd been studying Danish history. I'd hit on the right year there. So I knew everything. I knew a lot of things about Europe that no one else knew at all, because I'd been there and, you know, read all the monuments and all that sort of stuff, but I didn't know a thing about American history. I still don't. The beginning, you know, what Patrick Henry said when and all that stuff. I never learned.
But you actually didn't lose a year then. You were put in you're going to be able to graduate from high school with your regular class.
Yeah. I'm even younger than most of the people in my class.
Now, what do you do now that you might say you do because you have spent a year in Europe? Is there anything that sets you a little bit apart from your contemporaries?
Well, yeah, I'm a little bit different. Sometimes I love to travel. I'm always wanting to travel, and we have a really nice foreign language department at school, and I'm taking Spanish and Russian, and there aren't too many people who do that. And I guess just my interests, more or less, in travel and in other countries, and feeling that maybe America isn't the living, breathing end sets me apart a little bit from some of the other kids.
You've had these other experiences to give you a broader outlook.
Yeah.
What are your plans for the future?
Well, I'd like to travel. I'd like to go to the Faroe Islands or somewhere where I could maybe learn a new language or use one that I already know. And I might graduate a year early and go abroad for a year, or just go abroad for a year anyway after I graduate my senior year. I don't know. I'd like to use languages in something I did, but I don't know what yet.
Now, in the Faroe Islands, are you interested in the anthropology or the archaeology or anything like that on the island, in the prehistory or anything like that, or is it just that you have the roots there?
Well, I guess it's the roots, and because it's the roots, it's the people that I'm interested in, and how they, all the ways they make their living and how they cook and how they do everything. It's just a little bit different from the way we do things, and the language. Language fascinates me, and how the language got started and any new words that they've come up with since the Old Norse and how they're different and stuff like that.
If you met some parents who were thinking about going to Europe and they were going to bring their children, do you think you would advise them to take their children? Or how do you feel about it?
I definitely tell them to take their children, because if staying in the United States for a year of school, you'd get everything that you're supposed to get, but you wouldn't get anything besides. You wouldn't get the travel and the seeing the new different things and realizing that not everybody's going to understand you just because of what you're saying.
Does it mean something extra special to you that you have been raised in a home that has a Danish and a Faroese background?
Yeah, it's a lot different because we have different traditions in our home that none of my friends know anything about. And we celebrate things differently, and we aren't doing things. Well, the family is a lot different. When we get together at Christmas, we have people all over the place, and we always generally eat pretty much the same thing every Christmas dinner, and it's delicious. And
we just celebrate.
Well, we have roast pork, and then there's always red cabbage, and there's always rum pudding with raspberry sauce at the end, and there's always rice pudding at the beginning, which is just pretty much cooked rice with sugar and some vanilla in it with cinnamon on top. And one of the bowls of rice has an almond in it, and you mix up the bowls, and whoever gets the almond gets a prize.
Do you get your presents Christmas Eve?
Yes, we always open the presents Christmas Eve, and it's kind of neat that way. A lot of people don't do it that way, but we dance around the Christmas tree, and you try to tell that to somebody at school, and you should see some of the stares you get. Yeah, we dance around the tree at Christmas. Oh, you do? That must be interesting. And the Advent calendar that we have. My brother and I get a gift every day from the 1st of December to the 24th, and it's still hanging up in our house.
Now, do you decorate your tree with anything that would say this is Danish decorations?
Well, we have a string of Danish flags we hang on. That's pretty Danish. And the woven heart baskets that I guess are Danish. And they're Danish paper stars that we learned how to make when we were in Denmark. They're three-dimensional stars. They're really pretty, made out of strips of paper. And some of the trees, usually my grandparents' tree has candles on it, and that makes a difference. That's really nice, and to have all the candles lit, and I guess most people don't have that.
So that, in other words, if at no other time you think about being Danish, you do think about it on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, very much so. That's one of the very Danish times of the year.
Do you belong to any kind of a Danish church or Danish organization, or do you take any Danish magazines or papers? Personally, I don't know what your parents do, but do you personally?
No, personally, I don't do anything. I don't know anyone else like that. I just, meet people at school, find out they're Scandinavian too or something. I don't really know.
But otherwise, you have no opportunity to talk about these things to somebody else of a like mind.
No, none other than relatives and parents.
Do you hope to go back to Faroe Islands and to Denmark and go to school?
Yeah, I'd really like to do that, because then I could learn things in using the language of where I am, and that's even more important than just learning the language, to learn how to get something across to someone in another language.
You want to learn to communicate.
Yeah. Really.
Do you have any idea of what school you might want to go to? Did you have a chance to look at enough schools over there to think about that?
I don't have any idea which school I'd go to. If I went to the Faroe Islands, I don't think I'd have many choices, but I don't know where I'd go in Denmark.
Well, I want to thank you very, very much for talking to us. And you're one of our youngest people to be interviewed, and I think it's very important. So I thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you for interviewing me.
About Tyler, Minnesota.
Well, we go about every year or so for the rec camp that they have there, Danibolt. And one of the main things about being there is that you're classified as either being a Dane or a white. And we do Danish folk dancing, and there are crafts done, Danish embroidery, but all sorts of other American ones, Danish wood carving. And Danish songs are sung, and there's very Scandinavian feeling about the whole place. And we stay up till 2 in the morning, usually, dancing, folk dancing. And it's sort of neat. You meet all sorts of people that you hear about from relatives from all over the country. And it's kind of nice.
You just had a friend walk into the room here. Would you introduce her to us?
This is my second cousin, or third cousin, I guess, Alice Rasmussen.
What am I supposed to say?
At least hello.
Oh, hello.
And are you very close to Alice?
Yeah, I am, because she lives 50 miles away, but we get along pretty well. we do a lot of things together, like when the whole family's together, we're pretty much together. We set up the decorations for stuff.
Do Does she go to Tyler, Minnesota with you?
No, she don't think she's ever been.
I've been there when I was knee-high to a grasshopper. About 4 years old, I was. I remember it very vaguely.
The final question, and then we will let you run and eat. Do you have any intention of going into politics?
No.
Why not?
Because my father is a teacher of political science, and I've learned a lot about it from him and from him grading tests and what his students have said, but it just doesn't interest me. I think the competition between people doesn't, I don't like it that much. I don't enjoy it.
Ingrid, earlier, this just comes to mind. A little bit earlier, you told me about a book that you and your father had read on the way over here. Would you tell us about it?
Oh, the name of it is Den Lille Røde Bog for Skoleelever, and it's the Little Red Book for School Children, and it's sort of a book for rebel students. It tells how to see through teachers, students, administrators, how to start a riot in a school. That's the last step you have to go through, but it tells how to get something really accomplished through how to overthrow student government, has chapters on drugs, sex, abortion, how to get violence to accomplish something. We read some of them on the way down. Why grades are no good, why tests are no good. It was kind of interesting.
Now, how did you come into possession of this book?
I got it from some friends that we visited there who had a million kids in Denmark. They were on the island, I think they were on Sjælland. They were on Sjælland, and they gave it to me as a going-away present. He said I might be interested in it later, and I wasn't interested in it when I was 10 when I got it, but now it's pretty good.
Thank you very much, Ingrid. Thank you.
Thank you.